Let us turn to the Word of God and read from Psalm 134. Psalm 134. We have come to the last of the Song of Degrees of the series that we have been looking at. Psalm 134. Let us hear the Word of God. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Amen. May the Lord bless His word to us all. Now, this psalm is the concluding portion of this Song of Degrees. And there is much that is connecting this psalm to the previous one, 133. You remember there we read of the time of worship, the people of God in unity worshiping the Lord, and how pleasant and good that is. And in this psalm as well, we have an exhortation to bless the Lord, to bless God. Indeed, as if it was the last encouraging cry and shout to the Lord, to His people, so to bless Him and worship Him, as you remember, as these psalms are very likely giving us the idea of the nation of Israel, the people of God who are traveling and going to the city of God to worship Him. So these two psalms at the end of this series are giving us this idea. And I would like to take away three words from this psalm that we remember and in a way summarize how the psalmist is exhorting us to bless God. And the very first word is the first one that we read, behold. Did you notice it's exactly the same beginning as Psalm 133? In both these psalms, that's the first word that we read, the first exhortation. It is like an exclamation of wonder, as it was 133, so it is here. And this word means to look at, to admire, to pay attention. And it is again an expression of marvel, both over the united brethren who are before the Lord worshipping His name. And here too we read, behold, behold, bless ye the Lord. Now, first of all, this behold here is pointing to, as it is clearly stated, to the servants of the Lord. And these servants may be very well the Levites and those who were watching over the house of God even at night. There were people appointed to do this. And behold means here as well taking care, addressing these servants of the Lord so that they may be realizing how the work of the Lord may be carried out with diligence in His house, in the worship of His name, and in blessing the Lord God. Behold, bless ye the Lord. It is giving a sense of awareness, a sense of reverence to these servants. So the Levites all those who were serving at the house of God were encouraged to lead the service and the congregation and all the work at the temple, and never to abuse their position, never to overlook to the seriousness of what they were doing. They were to carry out their work not as if it was a mere procedure, but as if they were beholding, admiring the presence of God there, as if they had been there with the right heart to praise the Lord, to praise God, because that was His house. But also this exclamation of attention, of wonder, is addressed, we can say, to all the servants of God, not only the Levites there in Jerusalem, but to all those who serve the Lord, those who are the true-hearted sons and daughters of the Lord God. And this is the exhortation to you all: bless God. Bless Him. What does it mean? It means speak well of Him. It means talk about Him often. Adore Him. Worship Him with all reverence. Behold, bless ye the Lord. It means all ye servants of the Lord, delight in Him. Exalt Him. Walk close to Him. And love Him more and more. This is all the consequence of this short word, behold. It is something wonderful that we are encouraged to do. It is an exhortation to bless the Lord. All servants of the Lord, all you who love the Lord, may you never come to His presence without this real sense of blessing Him. Imagine for a moment if there had been no temple in Jerusalem, if Zion would have not been there, if these people would have not caused to walk and be united there at the presence of God, to worship Him, to remember who God is and why Israel was Israel indeed. Imagine, friends, for a moment, if there had been no cross, no Christ, no Messiah, no Bible in your hands, in homes, and no revelation of God at all. Imagine and acknowledge how important and how great this exclamation is for us all. Behold, there is such a beauty here, because you are encouraged and exhorted to bless the Lord your God. So, secondly, this is the first word that encourages us. The second is still in verse 1, and is the word stand. You see, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants, and stand, which stand by night in His house. That's remarkable, because these people described here are standing in the house of the Lord at night. Even at night, when everybody else is asleep, it was planned and asked that in Israel, in Zion, some people appointed by God would be still awake and stand and take care of the sanctuary when everybody else was resting. And that gives us the thought that also the Lord God of Israel, He was not the one who ever slept. He was the one who ever listens and ever was watching over His people. You remember also in the tabernacle the fire was burning out day and night. The presence of God and His Spirit was there all the time present. And so in His temple in Zion there, some people in Israel would be standing there even by night. Although the night, imagine what this represents as well, because the night gives you the idea of a time which is fearful, a time when enemies may come, a time when the day is not so nice. The night is bringing cold temperature, need of shelter and rest. At this time, the Church of Christ is still awake. There are people who are watching and blessing the Lord even at night. And we could take this even as a picture of when the Church, through the history, is even going through times of darkness, times where the night is indeed full of dangers. There have been many, many times in the history of the Church when there was more darkness than other times. And think of the years and centuries before the Reformation, for example. When we read of the work of the Waldensians before Martin Luther, the work of John Wycliffe in this country, how dark those times were, how the power of darkness were strong over all the people in the nations of the world. And yet there were, we read and we know of men of the Church who was standing in the night. I'll give you very quickly just two examples that I found regarding what it represented in the Church, the night of darkness. For example, before the Reformation, it was estimated that the Waldensians were spread around Europe in something like 800,000. So there was no knowledge of salvation by faith. It was a great time of darkness, and the Church of Rome was keeping hundreds of thousands slaves, spiritually slave. Yet the Lord had His people. And there is a quotation I found regarding the Roman Catholic authorities that were obviously investigating the Waldensians and what they were doing through Europe. And they obviously were lightning. They were a light in this great darkness. Because we read of an archbishop in the north of Italy who wrote this after this inquiry, after this investigation. This is what the records say, speaking about the Waldensians. Their life and manners are perfect and irreprehensible, without reproach upon men, addicting themselves with all their might to observe the commandments of God. This is the light that these men were giving in this world of darkness. This is the stand, as if we read here in this psalm, by night they stand in the house of the Lord. What an example we have throughout history. Or, for example, take as well John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe in 1374, he was a member of a royal commission who was appointed to go and discuss with other offices, go and discuss with the Pope. So Wycliffe had an audience with the Pope of the time. And obviously, after a few years, as he was so much convinced about the evil of Rome, strangely enough, in 1381, Wycliffe was dismissed completely from Oxford. But his writings had a huge and powerful effect in the whole of Europe. We read that Wycliffe's writings, apart from the translation of the Bible itself, but Wycliffe's writings influenced John Huss and even Martin Luther. And I quote this that I found. Wycliffe's writings were everywhere an encouragement for many who were disillusioned with the apostasy of the organized church and were particularly influential in Bohemia and in Germany. Imagine from this country how great an influence his writings had, how bright this light was shining, standing in the house of the Lord. Well, let us, brethren, take courage here that as much as dark the times can be, this is what the Lord calls his people to stand in the night, by night, in the house of the Lord. Let us not sleep, let us not fall asleep, but rather stand in the presence of God. Be standing and worshipping his name wherever we are, and praise him in this dark world. In the night, let us stand and stand for the name of the Lord, to bless the name of the Lord our God. So, behold, bless the Lord. Stand and bless the Lord in his house at night. And thirdly, verse 2 gives us this word, lift up your hands. What an expression we have here about the worship of God. Lift the hand is an action. It is an expression of action, not of idleness. These are people who lift up their hand in worship of God. Now, I'm not suggesting here that you are to become Pentecostal or changing your habit at all. But this is so important to give us the flavor of what worshiping God must be. We cannot be at the presence of God and falling asleep, nor becoming bored, nor idle, but it must be a worship full of strength, a worship which is bringing people awake, alert, spiritually. That's the worship of God. That's the people who are blessing the Lord. They admire his presence. They are watching and standing in the night, and they do lift up their hands. Their heart and their soul is fully consecrated to praise and to worship the Lord. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. And what is the outcome of all this? What is the consequence of all this? Did you notice the end of the psalm? Well, the Lord which made heaven and earth, the one who sits in the heaven, in his throne, he will bless. He is the one who truly blesses. The Lord blesses his people as a response out of his love, but also as a confirmation that he pleases. He is pleased of the worship of their people. The God who is the creator, the maker of all things, the one who is independent from us all, the one who is no need of anything else, he is able to send blessing on his people. Out of Zion, the Lord will bless thee. And Zion has such an importance here, because it's not, you see, of all that we have read, it is not because of the servants who stand at night. It is not because of the way they lift up their hands. It is not because of the house of God itself that God blesses, that God responds and blesses His people. But it is out of heaven and out of Zion that He blesses. It is Zion. It is in His presence. And the church and His people are only means. And it is by these means that God blesses out of Zion. Let's take this at heart, my friend, because it's not the church ultimately. It's not the name of any building at all, nor the servants in and of themselves that give the blessing, but it is the everlasting one. It is the Creator of heaven and earth. He will send His blessings out of Zion. And Zion is giving us the idea of Christ Himself and what He has done for His people there. It is all of grace, and it is because of Him and for His glory.